Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man who is to electric football what Joe Rogan is to the MMA, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
Oh my God, yes.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
We are back and better than ever. The Mr. National Podcast. I'm Mr. National, the fourth, the face of the hobby, my tag team man tonight, and every night that we do this, every night we do this podcast, I'm tagging him in, Mr. P Double.
What up, Mr. National?
What up? Yeah, remember them commercials?
Yeah, what up?
Those guys, I think they were from Philly. They were from Philly. Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna look them up. They became like celebrities over there. What's up?
Yeah, I think they were just like ad guys or something.
Yeah, just nothing.
They hit it big.
They hit, like me and you.
They probably got walk-in closets now.
Oh, man, don't get me going. I'm gonna start this show up like I used to start the older shows up, like pissed off, something pissing me off. Like, what? We can put men on the moon. We can do all this stuff we do, these scientists and smart people. Why can nobody design a microwave that will warm the whole plate up? That just pisses me off. I had a thing in there and it's popping and sizzling. I'm like, all right, it's good now. Part of it,
really hot, and the other part's still cold.
And the other part, like, cold. Like, what is going on? Like, come on, man.
Mysteries of the universe right there.
Yeah, like, come on. We can do all this stuff. Cars parking themselves.
Yeah.
Talking to watches, FaceTime. And in all this time, nobody can make a microwave that would just heat the whole plate.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they got their priorities a little bit mixed up, you know.
Tell me about it. I mean, I was talking to Baby J.
Yeah.
He's all just up in an uproar. He is ready to get back on the podcast. We gotta get him on, P Double.
I'm sure there's a lot going on in the crazy in the world today.
Oh my God! Right?
I mean, I can't even talk about it. I was telling some people I gotta keep my fat mouth shut.
I didn't even know. He was telling me stuff. I didn't even know what was going on. I was, you know me. I'm like in a rock. I'm under a rock. Well, lately I've just been traveling, so I haven't seen or heard nothing. I mean,
are we just gonna get right into it?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I did want to touch base on all that stuff that went on, but we might have to do that for another show.
Oh,
I mean,
the shootings?
Yeah.
Yeah, the shootings. Sick. Yeah, and then there's a lot of President Trump has been basically pissing everybody off. You know, for different things. I mean, I don't want to.
With his reaction to the shootings, or just other stuff.
Well, that. But even before that, I mean, he says, like, all right, we'll get into it a little bit. I mean, this is so like toxic. It's just like, you know, it's just so negative. You know.
Hey, right.
But
that's why I can't.
Right. This is key to life right there, man. Just keep it flowing, keep it moving, keep it positive, you know?
And that
kind of stuff just brings you down. It's not good for anybody.
It's not.
But there's a group of really progressive, liberal congresswomen, which he's real conservative, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, which, you know, is that's legitimate. Like, if you're very conservative, you may not agree with a lot of the liberal agenda. And I'm fine with that. I don't agree with most of the conservative agenda. I don't consider myself Democrat or liberal, but generally I agree with the kind of, you know, left liberal kind of ideas. Anyway, there's this group of women they're women of color, and he said, you know, he said said something about them, and if they don't like it here, they should go back to where they came from.
Oh my goodness!
Well, they're all but one of them were born in the U.S.
And right.
The one that wasn't, she's born in Somalia, came here when she was like 10 years old, and is a U.S. citizen and a congresswoman.
Right.
Okay, she's from Minnesota. So, to me, I'm not stupid. That's racist.
Right.
You know? Well, of course, he's like, you know, oh, no, it isn't. I just mean, you know, this and that, and, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just so bad.
Oh, right. Man.
So he initiated that. Okay.
Right.
But then he, of course, anytime anything happens, his reaction to it is so inappropriate that it just, you know, ticks people off.
Right.
And so there's.
Oh.
What's crazy is, I don't know, if he gets reelected, you know, I don't know what to say. You know?
What would it say about this world we live in, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried that he's going to be, you know?
It's crazy that a lot of people like, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if you like what he's doing, like his policies and the things like that, okay, fair enough. Some of the stuff, I you know, what he's doing is okay. But you can't say he's not like a despicable.
Despicable me.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a piece of shit, you know? He just is, oh, God. Anyway, it's so negative, man. Oh, God.
Well, oh, my goodness. I miss all of that stuff.
Yeah. So the shootings, yeah, were just terrible.
Yeah, now that was, I didn't even hear what he shot up or nothing. I didn't, like.
Yeah, well, the one guy was a white supremacist. He went down to El Paso, Texas, which is near the Mexican border, and shot up a bunch of people.
Mexicans or blacks?
Yeah, Mexican people is a.
Jeez.
Yeah, primarily, okay. You know, Mexican people. He had written that he was going to shoot Mexican people or something like that.
Wow.
The one in Ohio was crazy, though. The guy rides to some music festival or something like that, or you know, cherry festival or something, pecan festival. I don't know what it was. Rides there with his sister and this other guy. And they go off and they're walking around doing whatever. Then he leaves them, goes back to the car, gets his gear and his gun, and goes back out and starts shooting people. And kills the guy and his sister.
He killed his own sister?
Yeah. And plus, like, other, you know, a few other people, like seven other people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I think he may have, then he got shot and killed.
But, oh, he got killed?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
By the cops?
The cops. The cops killed him like 30 seconds into it. They shot him dead, so they responded real quick. But
real quick, right.
That all happened in one day, basically.
Yeah, that's what baby Jesus was saying. Kiker, he was saying it was two of them in one day.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I wouldn't even know what day it was. Yeah. I just been trying to just... So, life.
Yeah, you've been living your best life.
Yeah, is that the saying? Right, I've been living my best life. I mean,
if you're not following Mr. National on Instagram or Facebook, it's like a documentary, you know, of all the best parts of America.
Right. I put this stuff out there, but I don't want it to come off as bragging or nothing.
No, not at all. Man. I look at it as everything, everybody's looking at it like, yeah, go Corey.
Right, right. I mean, I hope nobody looks at it like that. I would never do anything like that. So, I mean, the comments, sometimes I don't even get the chance to see them. You know, I might just go live or something or set up some pictures. So,
yeah.
Hopefully everybody just takes it as, you know, I'm just having fun, just some opportunity. Taking advantage of some opportunities, that's basically what it is. I'm not rich by no stretch of the imagination. those bills are starting to come in. And I'm scratching my head now. Why did I do that?
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm looking at. All these, I'm going, man, how does he do what he does?
I'm like Urkel. I see the bills, like, oh my, did I do that? I'm like, oh man, I'm like, oh boy, I got to get right. But Ohio, I mean, it was. I'm kind of trying to like backtrack it a little bit. I want to thank everybody for listening again to the Mr. National Podcast. I'm here with P Double, my main man, and right now we just going in. I don't know what you want to call a little soiree,
a whirlwind trip.
A whirlwind. But it was all national. It was all national. It was even last night. It was all about my birthday. And I finally last night got to hook up with my Skull Shaver crew.
Uh-huh.
And Hugh Stack and Smokestack. And we hit the town.
Nice.
We hit Daly's. We hit another sports bar. And then we ended up at Delilah's.
Yeah, I mean, Stack with Nat Show, I imagine, is only the tip of the iceberg. Right.
Right. Tip being the main word right there, the tip of the iceberg. But yeah, we ended up in Delilah's Gentleman Club for a crazy night. I feel like Chow in The Hangover. In the beginning, they didn't know what happened, and Chow was like, "Well, let Chow do a little bump and get my hair straight." He said, "You motherfuckers ready to hear the wildest story?" And then he just passes out. So everybody on the podcast listening to the Mr. Nash podcast, put your seatbelt on. We're going for a ride, okay? We're going.
Nice.
All right. So last night, I finally hooked up with my boys back in Philly. I get in Philly. Last night, we hit the town. But before that, it was funny seeing them dudes. They was like, "Man, I knew I saw you in there, and then I see live, and you at some party." And Hugh Stack said, "I thought it was like something old." And then I had to look. I'm like, "This dude is in Ohio, isn't it?" It was Ty Law's Hall of Fame private party, and wow. I think it was the Berkshire. Berkshire Golf Club, real nice golf country club.
Right.
And he had a company put the party on. He had DJ, he had live band. It was just phenomenal. I mean, he was kind of busy. I talked to him for a hot second.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't take many pictures. I mean, Chris Berman, talked to him. Boomer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talked to Jerome Bettis a lot. Talked to Marshall Faulk. I mean, Marshall, I was like, I seen Marshall, and I was like, dude, I can't tell you how many times I used to stay up. I'm like, I'm from Philly. I said, your games would come on so late when you were at San Diego State. I said, because, you know, this freshman leading the country in rushing. I said, I used to stay up late just to watch you play. And he said, I hope you were entertained. I said it did some. I said,
that's
you
awesome.
You were phenomenal. Curtis Martin came in and walked through. I shook his hand, talked to him.
Wow.
Rodney Harrison, the safety, talked a lot to Champ Bailey, who stopped in the party, was there. Me and him talked for a good while.
Wow.
Asked him about his brother.
Great,
and everything.
Great defensive back.
Great, yeah. It was, I mean, a great defensive back draft. And talking about defensive backs, that was like the theme of this party. Walking around in just like regular clothes, not even dressed up at all, was Darrell Revis.
Oh, wow.
Who was from
one of the all-time greats.
Right. He's from Aliquippa. That was the Aliquippa, Pennsylvania is where Ty Law is from.
Oh, okay.
It's another Hall of Famer from that area. I can't think of him. All younger guys, P-Double, you know, everybody kept asking me, was Jerry Rice there? Did you see Rice? None of the older guys really were there. One older player, and you probably would had a good time seeing him, was Tony Dorsett.
Get out of here. Oh.
Yeah.
He was there. He's from Pitt.
He's, well, he's, yeah, not Pitt, but he's from
Penn.
Aliquippa. Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. It's a small town, real close to Pittsburgh.
Right, but he went to Pitt.
But he went to Pitt, yeah. Ty Law went to Michigan. Ty Law went
to Michigan. Right, yeah. I knew that.
But that it's everybody from that town is so connected.
Ty Law went to Michigan?
Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he went to Michigan. Yep, he's a Wolverine. But Aliquippa, the whole Aliquippa community came out.
Right.
And that Dorsett, he looked young. Like his appearance, you know, he's got gray hair. But he couldn't walk too good. He had somebody walk him around. He's not doing too good. And
like with his legs or his head?
He's going through CTE or whatever.
CTE.
Yeah, whatever that CTE thing is. Yeah, he's got it bad.
That's too bad.
Up and down the steps and walking across. So
I think so many guys are like that.
I know. So Dorsett came in to personally, you know, congratulate Ty Law. They're all from the same hometown, Aliquippa, PA.
So
I said, damn, they go Dorsett. Now, you know, it was really hard to get close to him because he had people helping him up. And they were like,
give him some room.
So, I just gave him.
That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah, he was my favorite player for so long.
I know. Little dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't that
fast.
Big.
Fast.
Willie McGinnis was there. That is one big human being.
Yeah.
Dude, he is huge.
It looks like a different species, right?
Yeah, like how can that guy run down like running backs from the
how would you like to be running from that guy?
I know. running for your life. Yeah. He is a big man, Willie McGinnis, for the Patriots. Charles Woodson was there. Charles the Heisman Trophy winner from Michigan. He's tall, a couple inches taller than me. Yeah, he's pretty tall. Yep. Oh. So, I mean, it was great. Great party.
Sounds like it, man. Amazing.
Drinks were flowing. B double. Wow. They had food. Well, we kind of ate before we got there. Me and John, electric coach, John Martin, who
I saw pictures.
Ohio tournament. So. You know, we put on our best outfits and hit the town.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Did you get to see the speeches?
No.
You know,
but I'm backtracking, so it's kind of hard to, before I got to Ohio for that party, I had just landed in an airplane from Vegas into Philly. So I landed, I had to catch a red eye, overnight flight leaving Vegas back to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I landed in Philly, it was 8 a.m. in the morning, 9 a.m. in the morning. Drove home, threw some clothes in a bag, and then drove 6 hours to Ohio.
To
make it to that party.
I got you.
Which was Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then we were up all night.
You were just running on empty by the end of that.
Oh, right. Yeah. We were up all night. I took a nap. I got a time to take a nap, so I felt pretty good. And then after the party, that was Saturday night, Sunday morning, afternoon, I went to a Cleveland Indians game.
Yeah.
I caught an Indians game, which was pretty cool at Progressive Field. And then a lot of eating and drinking in Ohio with John Martin and smoking Cuban cigars.
Nice.
Then I came back home. So
yeah, now you were talking about trying to get a game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, you got an Iron Man.
You got to drive through Pittsburgh to get to Philly, leaving Ohio, and I can see it right there. I'm like, man, I should catch a game, but I had no more money for hotel stays. It would have been a long, late drive. It was like, you guys would have been hearing about Mr. Nash on the side of a road somewhere, falling asleep. So, no, when I left Ohio that day, I just came on back to Philly. And like I said, I caught up with Smokestack and Hustack. So Vegas was actually the birthday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, birthday, July 30th. So I flew out on my birthday and then went to a Janet concert.
Wow.
Now,
just so everybody's clear, like, Mr. Nashville doesn't give P-Double, like, his itinerary or anything, right? I don't really know what's going on, but like I'm following him on, you know, Instagram.
Or social media, right?
Yeah. All of a sudden he's in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Janet Jackson. What's going on?
Right.
That's
Miss Janet.
Yeah. That's
awesome. Miss Janet, if you're nasty. Yeah. I couldn't wait till she did that. She's like, what'd she say? How did she say it? My first name ain't Baby.
Yes, Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
I was like, yo, Janet! Unbelievable. She did Rhythm Nation, so she did her thing. She didn't dance as much as she used to. She's getting older, put on a little weight, so. But she put on a great show. I mean, Vegas was outstanding. I mean, I didn't get to play no EF, that was for sure. I mean, I was nonstop drinking and partying it up. I had a steak dinner the night I got there. Now, it's like 10 o'clock there. That's already, you know, like midnight, 3 hours for me, you know?
Right.
10 o'clock there is 1 o'clock for us.
Right.
So it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
So you're already in the middle of the night.
Oh, middle of the night. I was just like, boom. I was just going, though. Had a nice steak dinner. Great. It was great. Then went to my room. It was just nonstop from there. Swimming pool, walking around casinos. then the last night was it's kind of even hard for me to remember it myself, Pito. But I know I grew up with the guys from Boys to Men.
Right.
And one of my real close friends is their cousin who flies out from Philly every so often to cut their hair. I'd let him know I was out there. He knew I was out there. So the last night that I was there, I went to see the Boys the Men show, saw him. Because I was in Planet Hollywood, staying at Planet Hollywood. Boys the Men is at the Mirage. So I had to catch a cab. I had to check out of my hotel because I was done with that hotel, Planet Hollywood. Right. Catch a cab over to Mirage. I saw my buddy. I was like, meet me in the lobby. He gives me his room key. I put my bags in his room.
Right.
And then I come down and get my tickets for the show. And then, boom, I'm watching the show. The show's over. I didn't even have time to go backstage to see the guys. They were getting changed so they could do their meet and greet with VIP.
I got a question about those guys, though. What's the guy with the real deep voice? Is his name Mike?
Mike, yeah, he's not on the group.
He's not in the group. What happened to that guy?
Before. Well, I know he had some health issues, and they just decided just to, you know, just split up. Because I don't think he was able to keep up with the travel. The dance and the performance.
I was wondering, like, why would you leave? Like, if you're that guy, why would you not?
Yeah.
You know, what would...
He was sick a lot.
Oh, okay.
He was sick and something. And I mean, I don't know if it was that good of a breakup, but you know, you know, I don't know if it's they speak or not. I never really asked him, but
right.
So they just decided to split ways. He still gets his money. I mean, Mike is not hurting by no means.
Right. I guess you see these celebrities
just three.
Right. I knew that.
Right, but, just three now. Yep.
You see different groups, and you know they split up for this or that reason, and you're like, man, what if you're like the bass player in the band, you know, and you're not there anymore? Like, wouldn't you be just kind of regretting that decision?
Right,
like, just suck it up, man, and go and play the bass, you know, and get the money.
I always joke when, you know, younger when they first came out and they were getting popular back in the early '90s. I always tell people, I was the fifth Boys to Men. I was like, they wasn't making no money right away, so I dropped out.
So I'm done with this, man. You guys.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
You guys are a dead end.
Let me get back to my construction job. You know what I mean? So I mean, after their show, I met my buddy and their road man, their manager, I know, and we took a picture and. He was like, man, you coming back to the room to party, right? I was like, dude, I got to go on my plane. I was like, I got to catch my plane.
Wow.
I didn't want to be like Cello from Cello. That's another story. I'll get into that.
Yeah.
So right after the show, I see my buddy. I said, tell Nate and all the guys of the group I'll catch up to them another time. I got to bounce. So I catch a cab, get to the airport, and then the flight left, let's say Vegas, at 11 p.m. That's what 11:06 p.m. Vegas time was the flight. It was one nonstop in the Philly. And I want to say I got into Philly. It was like 8 or 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
That's the worst, trying to sleep in an airplane, though, because you're like this, right? You're like...
Folks, you can't see P-Double, but you see him, he's just straight up in his chair in the booth. Sometimes this is a podcast, only the voice. I wish you guys could see P-Double sometime with his mannerisms and stuff. This guy's a riot. He's a riot. So I think the whole plane was just sleep. I remember kind of nodding off and looking up. The cabin was dark. The stewardess never even brought out the peanuts and drinks.
Right. She just walked past
you. Once they took off, everybody was just snoring. You know what I mean? It was like they could have put sleeping gas on that plane and stuff.
Yeah.
And I see why they call it red eye. You wake up, I mean, you land, all right, you land and make sure your seatbelt on. I mean, I got morning breath. You know, my sleep in my eyes. I'm like, oh, God. I'm telling you, by the time I got home, I had no time to do anything. I just threw some more gear, basically, in another bag. That Vegas bag stayed and drove. Yep, jumped in the car and drove. And then, when I got to Ohio, the Giants house, I was like, man, I gotta lay down for a little bit.
That's amazing.
I know. So that was the Vegas. That was the Vegas trip. So I saw two concerts and like
took,
I said,
lots. Yeah, took some nice pictures out by the pool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Chilling out by the pool. I'm like, man, it looks pretty nice right there.
Oh my God, man! I didn't put up some of the other ones. Like the pool at the Planet Hollywood was just kind of like a regular pool. The one that was over at MGM Grand was beautiful. Palm trees. I was like, man, nice. This one. Yeah, beautiful. So Vegas was, I think I left on Tuesday, on July 30th. Yeah. So now you're going backwards. Before that, the weekend was the TOC Championship.
Right. Now let's talk some electric football.
Right. Usually the TOC Championship, that World Championship, takes place. It's usually the weekend. My birthday actually falls right on one of those days, whether it's Saturday or Sunday or that Friday or something. But
right. For
forever, you know, just hanging with Manhattan Ray and some of the other guys, we would find something to do in whether it was Texas, when it was in Texas for 2 years,
yeah.
Or before then for 2 years it was in Richmond. We always found something to do for my birthday, and we went out somewhere or did some shots, but this year it was a little before. It was like the 26th to the 28th. So I drove out there with Steve Toff, who's a great guy, younger guy in the hobby.
Yeah.
Making decals and
just ordered some from him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he is full of ideas, that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
He rode with him, and we roomed together. So,
cool.
It was great seeing everybody there. Met some new guys, you know.
Yeah.
Which is pretty kind of cool because as I go up to meet some of the people, and I say, you know, and they tell me who I am before.
Nice.
So I'm like, no, man. We watched the Stack with Nash show, man. You guys are awesome, and we watch your podcast. So
that's great.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, I met Bobby Moore and Coach John Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, did you hear about
the pass?
What's the pass? No, not the pass. What's the girl coach that beat Jamie?
Jamie.
Jamie. Oh my God, Jamie. Jamie was. Jamie called me out in the bar.
Really?
Jamie was like, you've been talking on your podcast. You be listening, I guess. I was like, I gave you props. She was like, nah, you were talking about I beat Jim. And I guess she took it like I fired Jim up and got the Hulk mad at her or something. I don't know, but she was calling me out. Pat Morris was like, chicken. Somebody call you out, you play. I was like, I ain't even got a tea with me. So I would have... I want to take this time on the podcast and apologize to Jamie. I don't know what I did to upset her. She wasn't.
She's super competitive, man.
Super. The whole tournament.
She's calling you out.
Call me out across the room. National, let's go. I was like, oh my goodness. So that was nuts. Awesome. That was nuts. I mean, and then seeing the Gridiron Buzz guys, the network. Yeah. You know, hanging with them, Dustin and Raj, man, those guys are my dudes right there. Yeah, yeah. I got to get in the booth and call a couple of the games with them.
Yeah.
Saw electric coach.
Yeah.
You know, he's our official cameraman for our Super Bowl in the NFL. So
right.
I was glad he made the trip. So it was just so many guys.
I heard it was one of the best tournaments.
It was great. Hung out with Will Travers a lot. Me and Will and Ryan Westbrook, which is Brian Westbrook's dad, is
Will, is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
Ryan. Yeah.
How about that?
Oh yeah. Will's neighbor. Will watched Brian Westbrook grow up as a kid. Their kids.
Oh wow. He's a great back. He played for the Eagles. I love that dude. He was right.
I loved him when he came.
Dangerous.
He was dangerous. That was it.
Yeah.
And his dad, man, Ryan, I mean, he is a riot, dude. He is fun to hang out with, man. We had some drinks. I mean, we had a great time. Karen was there.
Yeah.
Yep, Karen made it. So awesome. She had problems with her car, so hopefully she got her car. We had one of the Philly coaches go down and pick her up. She broke down.
Yeah.
So that was a great time, Peter. We wish you could have been there.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there. It was a great tournament.
Oh, it was great. No smokestack, but Hugh Stack was there.
Right.
And you still can't wipe the smile off that guy's face.
So what was the deal? Because he's never been to one of these or what?
No, he's never been. His first tournament anywhere was like the TudorCon 14. And he was just didn't know nobody. He was just there in the room, just, you know.
Right.
So this was basically like his first tournament.
Oh, he liked it?
Oh, my God. Smokestack had me dying last night saying, Hugh called me up as soon as he got back off the road, like 10 o'clock Sunday, telling him all about the stuff. I was like, man, that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that's all that stuff. The competition was through the roof.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Through the roof. I mean, Rafiq and Kelly put on a championship.
Man, I always wanted Rafiq to win so bad because I don't know if you remember, the last time we had the podcast, he was one of my picks.
Wow.
Remember? I think you picked Kelly. And,
did I?
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to. I'm not going to listen back. But Hulk, remember Hulk was on?
Hulk was. He picked Norbert. He picked Norbert.
Yeah.
He picked Norbert. I think
you picked Kelly and somebody else.
And Norbert.
Brandon. I think you picked Kelly and Brandon.
I thought I picked Brandon or Norbert, I thought. Mm-hmm. We'll have to check that out. But you picked Rafiq, and Rafiq was least in the game. I didn't have nobody that even made it to the championship, so.
Oh, okay.
It was a great turnout.
Yeah,
Blake. I want to thank Mr. Nobody. Yeah. I had no team. And they asked me to play. They asked me to make the brackets even. And I decided to jump in. Mr. Nobody let me use his Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
And And what's his name? Richard. RGK Games.
Uh-huh.
He kept coming by my game with his little camera video and stuff. He kept saying, Mr. National with the Niners. I was like, good, dude. Just keep calling them the Niners, you know. But it was actually.
Are you sure he was saying the Niners?
Yeah, he was standing next to me. He looked at his live feet. Because I didn't want nobody to know I was playing with the Browns, man. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, tell Mr. Niners, great. But Mr. Nobody, Brian Phillips, man, his team was dynamite.
Oh, yeah? The Browns?
The Browns that I used. I went 2-1 in my bracket. The only loss was to Keith Chalmers.
Well,
it was pretty good. I mean, I actually advanced to the pool play, but you know, Mr. National cannot be a prisoner of that game rule. I kindly declined my advancement into the tournament. They said,
"Did you give your spot up to somebody?"
Huh?
Did you give your spot up to somebody?
Oh, yeah. I gave my spot.
gotta go hit the town.
I gotta hit the town. I got people to see.
Wow, you made it out of pool play and then just bowed out.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I made it out of the group play into the actual.
Did you say bye to Jamie when you left?
No. Here. All right. Here's something for everybody to know. Now, Brandon did the whole rankings and thing. You know, after all the group plays was out and everybody turned their slips, go take lunch or whatever, and I said, Brandon, I pulled Brandon over. I said, I don't want to play. Just get my spot up. I said, the only way I will play is if my first round is against Jamie. That's what I said. I wanted to play her in the tournament. But I said, if you make that happen, and he ain't do it, though. He did say that I had ranked high enough that I would have picked the board. I was a higher seed.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, everybody like, you know,
I'd
have picked the board and then whoever played me. But it wasn't Jamie that would have played me. So I said, all right. I said, I'm out then. Just give it up to somebody else. So that was it. So Jamie, I didn't duck you. I actually wanted to play in the tournament, but it didn't work out. Like that. You're lucky. And you're lucky it didn't.
He can't help
keyboard
himself.
Gangster.
Yeah,
keyboard gangster.
Keyboard gangster.
Yeah. She ain't here now. We ain't right. At the room. I'm talking all kinds of shit now. Oh, man. That was a riot, though.
Yeah,
in front
amazing.
Of everybody.
Sounds like a great tournament, though. Mike Robinson won the
oh, my God. On the last play.
Yeah.
That was the last play. He beat Norbert.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, I'll give you a quick nugget on that one. I know this podcast is running long. We're going to wrap it up soon. But I'm sitting outside smoking a cigar, and Mike Robinson is my guy. He's one of my – everybody's my guy, but I like
– I thought I was your guy.
that's the problem of being the fourth. I mean, I'm so close and tight with everybody. I can't pick a favorite. I just can't. I love Rafi. I love Brandon. You know what I mean?
Right.
Son of a legend, Oscar. But Mike, I like Mike. Mike, hell, Mike let me stay in his damn house. I drove Mike's car. That's
wow.
Another crazy story I got to tell you, P-Double, one time when I went out to Texas. But I'm sitting outside with Mike Turner, Hall of Famer Mike Turner. We smoking a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the game on, watching it on Gridiron Buzz Network.
Okay.
The Norbert Mike Robinson game.
Uh-huh.
And it came down to let one play. And Dustin and Kelly Newton is actually calling the game. Roger took a break or whatever.
Right.
It was Kelly and Dustin calling the game.
Oh, okay.
And me and Mike were doing the thing. And he hits this pass. Mike hits the pass, and he had blockers out in front. And Norbert turned his safeties. They swooned. One blew by the guy. He stopped it. No hit. Turn him. Boom. The other safety goes by. No hit. Turn him. And then Mike got turned up. Touchdown. No time. Game over.
Wow.
Me and Mike was like, oh, my goodness. You could almost hear the noise from inside the room.
Right.
And we were up at the front just on the bench.
Right.
Okay? So we're just watching it. Dustin's going off. I love his excitement, man. He is awesome. That dude can do it for real. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, he can do it for real. And we just watch it. So maybe 5 minutes, not even, goes by, right? And we're down at kind of away We're at the front door entrance where you would pull in with your luggage at.
Right.
And now, looking straight down, is a side door that would let you in where the game room was at.
Mm-hmm.
So I see Norbert walk out the door. This is after the game. We're watching it, you know, all the high fives, everybody, you know, Norbert, you know, game congratulations and stuff on the screen. We're watching it.
Right.
And it comes out maybe 5 minutes after the game. And he doesn't see us because we're all the way down the other end because it's kind of dark. And he lights up a cigarette and he takes a long drag and he just looks up at the sky and he just says, fuck!
That's great.
So I said, yo, Norm. And then he looks at me. He said, he looks and he sees it as me. He says, motherfucker. I said, man, it hurt to lose it like that.
Yeah,
man,
man, I bet.
That was hilarious. So that was like that night.
Yeah,
so the next day, now they're doing the final eight. I think Norbert is in the final eight. Yeah, he won a gold ball. Okay, so I go up to Norbert. I was like, dude, that was so awesome catching you out there.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? He was like, man, I let it out.
Yeah.
I said,
that's classy, though, cool. Right? You got to go where you think you're by yourself.
And here's the thing. He said, I said, I'm watching you shake everybody's hand and say, good game. He was like, that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing, you know. I said, of course. I was like, that was great sportsmanship. Yeah. I mean, you was great. I said, after seeing all that on TV, and then you come out, and you're like, fuck. He laughing. Me and him are just cracking up.
I mean, that's building up inside you that whole time, right? You're going and shaking all those hands, you know, trying to be the bigger man.
Right. And then you get so a moment. You get a moment to be by yourself.
Yeah.
And Mr. Nash was there to catch it. that's my
Norbert.
That's my birthday twin. So I mean, we both July 30th. So that's my birthday guy right there. Awesome. That was just a good one from that tournament. But wanted to say congrats to Kelly Newton and Rafiq. I text both of them guys.
Wow.
Because I didn't get to see the end of the game. Because me and Steve Toff had to take off. We had to try to get Cello to get his air. And we're in Richmond. And this dude waits to the last minute. The game kept going to overtime.
Right.
They kept going back and forth. And Brian Phillips was supposed to have been his ride. And he was the ref. So, dude, it's crazy. So Steve said, Corey, what do you want to? It's funny. Like, the Philly guys only call me Corey. Everybody else to say the fall? So Steve's like, Corey, what do you want to do? I was like, well, no, I rode with you. I'll ride back. Come on, let's try to get Cello to make his flight. I mean, it was no way. I'm hearing, like, the time that his flight is supposed to leave, BWI, which is in Baltimore. We're in Richmond. Yeah. I was like, so we trying and Cello.
Yeah, this ain't California where everybody's doing 120 on the highway.
Exactly.
This is the East Coast, baby.
It got to the point where he was calling the airport and was like, you know, how long will they hold it? And that was a whole funny exchange with him and the person at the help desk or whatever.
Yeah.
So basically, it was like, you're not going to make it, okay? Yeah. So now you could get the next flight. The next flight out of BWI would get him to L.A. too late. He would miss work. He said, that don't work. You got anything earlier or something else? I was like, try Philly because, you know, it's just a two-hour drive. And me and Steve was driving back to Philly anyway.
Right.
They had one. It cost him more money, though. He had to pay more money to get the flight the next morning out of Philly. So he was kind of upset. I was like, well, man, you know, since we ain't got a rush, I was like, we in Baltimore. Let's get some seafood, you know, go down to the harbor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Mr. Nobody comes through again. He gives us a great place to go to, Moe's Seafood. We go there. We have a great dinner. We drink a couple drinks and feeling good. And then we said, come on, let's head on back. So the thing was, Steve was like, well, you can stay at my house. And Chell was like, all right, you can just crash at my house. Steve was like, you know, I just checked, you know, make sure it's good with my wife and everything. And, you know, everything worked out that way. It was good. So Cello's like, how far away are you? And Steve said, it's about 50 minutes, about an hour. Cello said, man, we're going to have to get up 4 in the morning. I said, yeah, if not sooner. I'm like, you don't want, and Steve talks like, well, maybe not really that early. I'm like, oh, no.
Don't get
the same boat again tomorrow. I'm like, get up early.
Yeah.
I was like, just get up early and just drive on back. So we left the Moe's place. We're heading closer to, we're still in Baltimore heading towards, like, Philly. And then Steve stops for gas. And I'm thinking, Pete, I'm like, man, it is late. I'm kind of tired. I said, dude, let's just get a room at the Essington Hotel where we do the extravaganza. Right. We might as well just stay the night.
Yeah.
And he said, man, that's a great idea. My wife had just told me that. I was talking to her. Why are you doing all this driving? Just stay there. I said, yeah, man, that's too much driving. Let's just get a room. Steve was like, I'll front the room. I'll pay. So
that's cool.
We call the S&M room, get Cello booked, a double bed. So I said, man, now we good. We go. So everybody kind of got like a second wind now. I'm like, we can party now. So
we can party.
Right, now we're going to hang out. So we get to Essington Hotel. We check in. They roll their bags in. We go to coaches. We go to a couple spots. We went to two spots. and then I was like, well, Chell, you're in Philly. I was like, dude, you might as well see some of the sights.
Right.
Steve was like, yeah, the Liberty Bell. So we drove to the Liberty Bell.
Awesome.
Now, this is like 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 in the morning after the tournament where you only get like 4 hours sleep. So 2:30 in the morning, we drive to the Liberty Bell, take some pictures. We drive to the Rocky Steps. We jog up the Rocky Steps. We take pictures at the Rocky Steps.
Oh, wow.
Go to City Hall. We go to Love Park. We take the picture in front of the Love sign.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Then we get back because we closed down all the nightclubs.
Uh-huh.
That's why it was after 2:30. When we left the last one in Philly, we drove all the way to Philly. We came back to Essington. I mean, we started driving back to Essington.
Essington's on his way to Coatesville. I told you I used to live in Coatesville, right?
Did you? Yeah. Coatesville is close to Levittown. Essington is out close to Chester, PA.
I remember going by it.
Yeah. Essington's out by the airport. By the airport. Yeah, that's where Essington is at, so. Mm-hmm. Cello had never even heard of the Essington Extravaganza. I'm like, dude, this is the hotel where we do our thing. We even went in a room. His room. I was like, we had like 15 boards set up. We play like 50 games a weekend.
That's awesome.
Right in there. So that's the hotel we stayed at. And like I say, that night was before going to Vegas, which was going to Ohio, so it was just like you say, a whirlwind
North American tour.
Not even 2 weeks, maybe 10 days.
Yeah,
it was 10 days, so it was nuts. So I had a blast.
Good run.
It was a great run. I'm feeling it now, P-Double. I mean, it's so when you go forward, it was the Richmond show, the TOC. Congrats to everybody that put that on. I mean, I know we don't have Werewolf no more. We don't have Vance Warren, you know, organizing and running.
Right,
so they doing the best.
Yeah,
they,
TOC, the TOC group's doing a great job. Durrell and
they,
them, yeah.
They are. Elgin Clemens was there.
Yeah.
Mr. MCA, who, you know, basically pulled out of his own pocket, you know, to keep it, the MFCA and all the stuff. So. The only bad thing was that Durrell or somebody forgot the game clock. So.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah,
oh,
that runs everything.
Score
forgot
one.
That. They ran all the clocks off for the Gridiron Buzz game clock.
Okay.
So. And those guys, I mean, they did so many great things. They did a tribute to the couple coaches that passed away, Morgan Scott, Edwin.
Yeah.
I think Larry Walker, and there was another coach. I forget who else they had up there. So they did a donation thing for them. They also collected money for the Gridiron Buzz Network and Richard for, you know, all their travel and doing their stuff. I looked at Darrell. I said, okay. I said, that's great you did that. I said, Mr. National been doing it for 20 years. Where's my parakeet? You go to that Philly NFL site, you go into the albums. That is the history of all the tournaments. I mean, they're all in there.
Hey, next
that
show.
Was one. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to just say that a lot of pictures I took all going through the years.
Right.
Like we didn't have a Facebook Live and all that stuff. So right. I always took it upon myself that I knew not everybody could make it to these tournaments. And I always took as many pictures and tried to bring the tournament and what was the sights and sounds to them. So
Right. Yeah, that's important. Yeah, because
everybody.
Well, that's what's great about now is when you got arcade games and Gridiron Buzz, Mr. And National Electric Podcast, and the Stack with Nat Show. We got the Crack and Plastic. All this media.
Yes.
Bringing the game to people who might not, you know, might not see it or might know about it, but, you know, weren't going to follow it. But then they're like, oh, well, I can check it out this way and get interested in it, you know, again.
Right. I mean, the job that Maurice Robinson, electric coach, the Gridiron, but they almost doing it too well to a fault that you almost don't have to go.
Right, you're sitting in the hall. You're sitting outside the room watching the game when it's going on.
Watch everything. It's like, All right, got it. Like, they're doing it too well. We need more people to come to these things.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, though, because
it is. The
COC tournaments, I'm realizing, you know, through some of this stuff, is that's not everything. I mean, there's a lot of great leagues. There's people interested in around it that I've never heard of, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's growing. I mean, it's you know, I've heard that it's dying.
Stop.
Yeah, it's like no.
Stop
no,
it.
It's no.
Stop.
It's getting, you know, just because all the guys that play it are older.
Older, right. It ain't
that's just fun. Because you get settled in and you get some time and money to build a team and a board and you can travel and then you can play. But
right.
you know when you're 20s, you're busy chasing girls and living.
Yeah. You know. I mean, we all got into it in the Philly group. We were all in our late 20s or whatever. So, but, I mean, it's been a great ride, man. Those guys do great things. Antonio Jones, game day, he had a nice table set up, man.
Yeah.
He had his wife helping him.
Wow.
Cool. It was awesome. It was great, man. It was great. I mean, I do miss the Wolf. Miss Vance being there.
Right.
But they do a great job, Darrell and Brandon. So I'm sure everybody had a great time.
Yeah, looks like it. I can't wait to go to one again this year.
Yeah. What's the first one coming up?
Probably the Texas Twister.
Is it the Twister? Okay.
Or is it the Kansas? Yeah. Well, I think they have it in Texas, though.
Texas, yeah. I think it's in Texas, the Twister. Mm-hmm. Roger has something coming up. In Nashville.
I'll be there. Are you going to that?
And that's September the 7th?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you want everybody to get a Friday. Yeah, I gotta see. I need one of them donations now.
The GoFundMe.
Yeah, I need it. I was talking about, remember on one of the shows, we talked about starting a GoFundMe for Roger and them guys.
Yeah.
But it was when Roger was on. Yeah, I mean, now they taking care of. Now I'm going to get the GoFundMe for me. You guys love seeing Mr. National enjoying himself and me taking all the pictures.
You got to finance this show.
You got to finance it. Please donate at least $5. We can get each coach just to get $5. That'll be enough to get me to Nashville because I'm effed out. Vegas.
It was worth it, though. It was worth it, man. I enjoyed your travels. was awesome.
Yeah, I hope people do enjoy it. It was fun bringing it to you. It was just like, it was funny seeing them dudes, like when I finally got back home in Philly, hanging out with the Skull Shaver guys, and Stack and Stack, Smokestack and Hugh Stack.
Yeah.
It was like, man, what a run. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, it was everything lined up right. I mean,
amazing.
It was.
Well, welcome back to reality.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. This is the last week. Monday is back to making the donuts, putting the dust mask on, the Tyvek suit.
Getting it in.
Funny thing, though, it was like, before we go, I think we are at our limit. I'm with John Martin, who's director of sales for the hotel.
Okay.
And, he was like, man, how do you do that? I just showed him a picture or something, you know, on my phone. He's like, man, that's crazy. He's like, you know, I need an assistant. He was like, I'm like, for real? Yeah. He's like, I need an assistant under me. We had one. We had to let her go. He's like, move out to Ohio. I'll get you a job. So, I was like, wow. So I was like, he was like, you can do it. He was like, I know you can do it. So I was like, all right. So then when we were cello, you know, during that ride and driving around, you know, me taking around Philly and stuff, he was saying, you know, he's opening up a Rhino Club. His company is opening up one in New York. I'm like, New York? I was like, that ain't that far. I was like, you know, I said, when you come down, let me know. I'll catch a train over to New York or drive and come check. Yeah, he's like, yeah, we got to get a GM for that job. I was like, I'll do it. He said, you serious? I'll hire you. I'm
like, what? You gotta do it, man.
No, I ain't doing it. I'm just talking. But yeah, Cello did say, he was like, man, yeah, you could do it easily.
Yeah.
So one of these days, I'm gonna take it.
You miss your calling, man. Hang up that suit. And
I know. Well, I mean, I did. But because of you, And the podcast idea, I kind of can, you know, let my hair down and spread my wings this way. So I can bring it out. So this, like I say, P-Double, this podcast is therapy for me. I hope everyone enjoys it. Like I say, it's, just having fun with it.
Yeah.
I still get nervous though. Every time.
Every show.
Yep. Every show, still nervous. Well, folks, that is it. We got to get out of here. We got to skedoodle.
Yeah, let's hit it. Kit, we need Kit. Hey, Kit. Yo, Kit, what's the deal?
Kit, ain't that football? Kit, take us out of here, buddy. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnationshow.com.